graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
I came in the court.
Wait, that's fine. You're going to be here on... Let me tell you how this is going to work. You're going to
be... You ain't going to tell me shit.
Listen.
Suck my dick.
Shut up. Listen to me.
Suck my dick, you fuck man.
Listen.
Suck my dick.
We'll be here in the court on Monday.
You'll be here sucking my dick.
You will listen to me now.
You'll fuck yourself.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. You either listen or not. I don't care.
Run through. Can I leave the courtroom?
No.
No, you've got to stay here.
No, I'm not talking to the bastard.
We are going to have a trial Monday week.
No, the fuck we are. I ain't going to trial with this lawyer present.
Listen, if you do not...
Suck my dick, you stinking ass cracker.
If you act like this, I will send you out of the courtroom.
Old bitch ass cracker.
Leave you out of the courtroom during the trial.
Horse ass cracker.
Do you understand
Horse
that?
Horse ass dick sucking ass.
Do you understand that?
Butt,
do you understand that?
Ass cracker.
Do you understand that?
Mad, ain't you?
Stupid.
Red face.
Listen.
Now you're calling me stupid.
Listen. Yes, I am.
This is kangaroo court.
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass.
It's just a coincidence that you were talking about the Jack and Triumph show, and I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith. Guy makes all those unlistenable podcasts over at Spodcast.com, and you're listening to the Two Strangers, One Podcast. This is podcasting.
You're listening to Two Strangers, One Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on the Stitcher app for Android devices. Please visit TwoStrangersOnePodcast.net. Now, here's Chris Colone and Paul Pasquillo.
Well, hello and welcome to Two Strangers, One Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Paul.
And we are live streaming this right now. We are live. Prime time. It's about 10 minutes to 9.
You're very excited.
Eastern Standard Time. Yes, I'm very excited.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure you don't take the Mountain Dew home with you.
My life is very empty, Paul. And so little things like this make me excited, make me happy. Once again, I want to shout out to our two viewers right now. Cello, childhood friend, actually my brother's best friend growing up.
I'm waiting for Durrell to show up.
And Durrell should show up any second. It's
sure
prime time.
Will.
So like right now, even on the East Coast, it's about to hit 9 o'clock. So on the East Coast, it's going to be just about 6 o'clock. This is when the whole world is getting on their computers. People are probably in front of their... Is the DNC convention tonight? Is it starting tonight?
Yep, it's on right now.
So we are your counter programming for the DNC. Instead of listening to...
The counter programming.
Yeah, instead of watching the DNC, you can see us live stream the podcast. And so I guess we should just get right down to business. Obviously, San Diego Comic-Con. Get down to business. Talking to the microphone. That's what she said. First thing, San Diego Comic-Con. Just finished. I mean, 1 year, I promise I'll go. 1 year, I'll make plans. I mean, if we get... Because it's all run by the same people that run the New York Comic-Con. So I'm wondering if maybe we could get a press pass. You know, and you know, do it under... Because I got the past 3 years have been under a press pass under the Toonami Faithful. I'm not going to lie. Thank you, Paul. So,
that's right.
So Paul's other baby, the Toonami mm-hmm. Faithful, has gotten me press passes for the past 3 years of was it 3 years? 2 years? Well, this is year number three, excuse me.
Yeah.
So I do have a press pass. I feel bad for those friends of mine who don't have press passes.
No, you don't. You're throwing it in their face right now.
Well, no, I'm not.
You're doing it live. You could also, you're screwed.
You could also pay for it. If I didn't have the press pass, I would have seen what I can to get money to pay for it. I'd sell my ass. I'd go here in Rochester, the local.
You mean you haven't sold your ass already?
The local horse spot is Lyle Avenue, so I'll go down to Lyle Avenue and sell my ass.
I think it's every street in Rochester, but okay.
Yeah, or down Monroe, which helps me get into my first story. Oh, no, we'll get into San Diego Comic-Con in the second half of the news for those who are just watching for the first time. Oh, Jen's joined us. Hi, Jen. Hi, Jen. Jen's been on a couple episodes. Jen, I promise one day when this asshole isn't available, I'll...
You mean when you get an internet connection?
When I get an internet connection. No, well, I mean, no, when Jen's been on a couple episodes and we recorded it in her house. Or maybe when I get an internet connection, maybe we could all do like a united Skype thing. But not that you like me coming over to your house, but the kids play together, your daughter and Kelsey's daughter, daughter. And Kelsey's daughter play together. So,
we're in
the
bad cave now.
Yeah, we go downstairs. The kids go upstairs and have a ball and watch movies and stuff like that. So we kind of, look, guys could be doing worse things. We could be out in the bar. We could be chasing women. We could be doing drugs, getting drunk. We're sitting down here talking about comic book movies.
We're not supposed to be doing that?
We're not supposed to be doing that, no. We're a much different generation than our fathers. You know, we could be out whoring it up or getting into bar fights and stuff like that. No, that's not. We sit around.
If you could be whoring it up, you'd be very happy.
Yeah, I'm too broke to whore it up. If I had money, I would so whore it up. I'd have a whore, a maid, and a chef, and that's it. I'm pretty good. After that,
if you're not watching it live right now, you'll see me shaking.
So we'll get back to the San Diego Comic-Con stuff in the second half of the news. I shared the link on our Facebook page. I wonder if you share it on your page? Or should I tag you in it or whatever? This is interesting podcasting. Did you share the link on?
Nah,
you didn't share the link.
Page. It needs to go on your page.
Scumbag.
I was trying. I'm trying to figure out how to put it on your page. So
I'm gonna share on a friend's page. You gotta love this. Okay, share on a friend's timeline. Paul. Okay, sorry about this, people. This is just the beauty of the internet where we have to do things. I successfully shared
this is
with
where
Paul.
He tortures me.
Okay. Okay, like I mentioned, Monroe Avenue, which is notorious for having prostitutes in the middle of the night. Whores. I love whores. I've actually transferred out of my store yet again. Another transfer. I was working in a store that was a 24-hour store. And one, I had sent several emails to my boss saying that I don't want to work overnights. It's very stressful. It fucks up my sleep patterns. By the time the days come, because I have my daughter on my days off. So by the time my days off come, I'm sleeping all day because I have my daughter with me. I want to fucking spend time with her. I don't want to be
sleeping.
Catching up on the sleep that I missed from working all week overnights. And then there was a situation where I wouldn't even call it a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I made the best possible decision on something, addressing an issue that I've never had to address before, that I've never had to address, or I don't think anybody's ever addressed before.
Do tell?
Well, part of my job is what they call reconciling the drawers. Is this interesting, people? Part of my job is what they call reconciling the drawers. You go and you count down the drawer at the end of the day, make sure that it has what it's supposed to have, and then reset it. You know, most drawers start out with like $100 in it or whatever. So it turns out during the day, in the middle of the day, someone in the other part of the store where I don't work logged off a drawer, logged it back on. And so now the numbers were way off. So I had reconciled the drawer. This is really fucking boring. But I had reconciled the drawer the first time using the money that was in the drawer. Now, actually, that left us with the numbers being over. It's saying you're over, and I remember correctly, like it was $188 or something like that. So then you reconcile it again with the second set of numbers, because they logged the drawer back on, and then at the end of the day, logged it off again. And then you reconcile it with the second set of numbers, which then it was short. And it was short $190. So somewhere during the day, between $188 and $190, cancel each other out. Not a fucking problem, you know, on paper, as long as things balance each other out, because we'll have a shortage one day and then it goes into the next day,
right,
and then it balances itself out. Well, my manager decided this was the time that he was going to fucking chew me out and all this other shit, because he came at me like cursing, you know, being really fucking rude, you know. And once again, this wasn't some malicious, angry fucking thing. As all the fucking horrible things that I do, this isn't one of those times where I was doing something malicious. I was handling the problem the best way I thought possible. And he came at me cursing and yelling and all this shit. And then I contacted my district manager and I said, you got to get me the fuck out of that store. You know, one, I don't want to work nights, overnights.
Right.
And when I do, you know, I explained the mistake to him. And like I said, I don't think it was a mistake. I think I handled it the best way possible. And especially that it balanced itself out. And so I said, look, I'm fucking contacting my union rep and a lawyer if I need to, but get me the fuck out of that store. Well, needless to say, with that, they had transferred me to, I'm working in a much more chilled out store. You know, for those people who listen to the podcast, they'll know that, you know, I got punched in the face earlier this year at work, you know, and, you know, not many, only professional fighters should have to say this at, you know, I got punched in the face at work. But,
my name's Chris Colon and I got punched in the face.
I got punched in the face at work, you know, from a guy that was shoplifting. So back then I was kind of saying, I was asking to transfer to other stores. The store that I'm going to now was one of the stores on my list. You know, it's a lot more chilled out. It's a lot more, you know.
Is it close to where I live?
No, it's not close to where you live. It's close to where I used to live, which sucks because now that I moved across town, I wish I kind of, well, I don't wish I had my old apartment because my old apartment was literally just a bedroom with a kitchen on the end of it. But, you know, now to go to the new store, I have to. Okay. So that's enough of, I mean, I know we have like our personal start, stuff in the news. Our last episode, fucking idiots, was, we were talking about the Philandro Castile deal, and there was,
pissed some people off.
I pissed some people off because I had basically said, because there was some video released a couple of days earlier saying that, you know, the there's video of him and his girlfriend smoking weed in the car with kids in the car.
Right.
You know, Philandro Castile was known for carrying his weapon. I'm pretty sure he probably had his gun on him while he's smoking weed in the car with kids.
Right.
And then, as his girlfriend said in the video, they are about to go drive to the fireworks display. So once again, smoking weed in the car with his girlfriend in the car, with his kids in the car, gun in the car, about to drive under the influence of a drug or whatever. And so, unfortunately, friend of the show, Jody Schaefer, who's actually been a guest on the show, unfortunately was part of him, and I kind of went back and forth on Facebook, and I was like, you know, has the world gone mad that everyone thinks that, you know, everyone's coming to the defending, you know, and they're like, oh, well, the cops shouldn't shoot you because you're smoking weed in the car with your kids. No, I'm not saying, right. I'm not saying cops should shoot you because you're smoking weed in the car with your kids about to drive. I'm saying if you're that kind of person to make such a monumental mistake,
right.
To make such a series of monumental mistakes, you're probably the type of person that would do something really stupid in front of a cop and get yourself shot. So, unfortunately, once again, friend of the show, Jody Schaefer, him and I kind of went back and forth, and he was like, and like I just said, I'm saying everything that he does, and, he says, you know, you're calling a dead man a criminal with nothing beyond the fact that he might have smoked some pot and liked rap music. And the fact that he was black. And he goes, I don't think we could be friends. So he unfriended me. So I feel kind of bad about that because, like, it's one of those deals where, hey, Sergio, it's one of those deals where, you know, you respect somebody. And there's that phrase, you know, you should never meet your heroes, because if you meet someone that you care about or someone whose work that you love, and then you find out, oh, what if this person's an asshole? I'm not in no way saying that he's an asshole. But him and I obviously don't see eye to eye on certain things. And I'm like, now I guess he thinks I'm an asshole. So I do feel.
Well, you are an asshole.
I know I'm an asshole. I really am an asshole. But, you know, I didn't want to burn that bridge. And I kind of feel bad about it. You know, and, you know, last year with Eric Gardner, I fucking lost two friends over that. You know, there's an episode dedicated to that called Unfriended. You know, where I lost two friends over the Eric Gardner things. Every time fucking one of these police shootings happen on TV, I'm losing friends because, you know, I'm standing by, my cop friends. Oh, hello, my cousin Evelise. So basically, you know, cops, stop shooting black guys because I'm losing friends every time it happens. I'm coming to your defense and I'm losing friends because of it. So, enough about that. Okay, what's next on the agenda? Okay, this year, Jason David Frank is going to be at New York Comic Con.
Again.
This is sort of nerdy news, so hopefully we're going to try to get an interview with him now. Maybe it's good being on the record about this, so maybe I'm forced to stay to my word. We're going to try to email his people, because I know I still have the emails, unless he has different representation now. You know, I'm going to try to reach out to him and see, because, you know, once again, for followers of the show, they would know that, it was us just missing the Jason David Frank interview 2 years ago that I got recruited to be in the Jack and Triumph show, the pilot of the Jack and Triumph show. So kind of, I guess missing the interview was good luck. So who knows? Maybe we should try and miss the interview again. Be another bit of good luck. So, we have that. Melania Trump. I had went on a fucking tangent on this. I'd basically, you know,
more than a tangent.
I said, who's writing her speeches? You know, Carlos Mencia, what's her face? Amy Schumer. I said, Amy Schumer's writing her.
If it isn't freaking Amy Schumer, it's her.
Let me tell you, go on YouTube after you finish watching this. Go on YouTube and watch, Amy Schumer stolen jokes or stealing jokes. Because there are, you know, there's comedians, where the sketches for her show, there's some in her act, but most of these are ones in her show. And you know what? Okay. in all fairness, when you have someone like Amy Schumer, she doesn't write the show by herself. I mean, there's a room full of comedians. But then again, you know, you would think in a room full of comedians, obviously, I'm not going to know every joke in the world, you know, and I may repeat a fucking dick joke or something like that because I heard it from a comedian. But you would think a room full of comedians, someone would say, oh, no, we can't use that bit because such and such comedian did it. So, but if you get a chance, or Carlos Mencia, you know, and that was kind of a noted one with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan went out, like, Joe Rogan, like, jumped on stage with Carlos Mencia. You know,
well,
trying to, you know, to kind of like shout him out. And then, and it's actually, it's a clip from Joe Rogan's podcast where they talk about Amy Schumer and the bits that she had stolen. So, the jokes I was saying was that Amy Schumer was writing Melania Trump's, speeches, which, you know, God knows, as we're recording this right now, God knows what's going on at a DNC convention. You know, there was all types of craziness going on over there. Let me see. We are about 20 minutes in. We have so much Comic-Con stuff. I think we're going to go to break. We're going to go to break on the podcast. We're still live. But we're going to go break on the podcast, and we'll be back with more dick and fart jokes.
This episode of Two Strangers, One Podcast is brought to you by Comics Etc., 1115 East Main and North Goodman at the Hungerford Building, door number 8. Find out more information at comicsetc.biz or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/comicsetc1.
Click and Hit, enhancing the experience for all recreational smokers. Click and Hit is a one-handed portable vaporizer. This smoking pipe has a compact four-stage design, complete with a built-in windproof butane refillable torch lighter. The large burn chamber holds your stash of legal herb or pipe tobacco. Click the button to ignite and inhale as usual. When you are done, put it back in your pocket for later. Smoke anytime with the touch of a button. No more carrying around grinders and tins. You can leave the pipe, rolling papers, and even your lighter at home. The Click and Hit cordless vaporizer is no bigger than a normal cigar, making it the world's smallest and most discreet vaporizer. It's perfect for use in small places or shared rooms. It's efficient, getting 5 to 8 draws from your packed chamber. It's affordable at just $19.95 each. Buy 3 and the shipping is free. Buy 4 and you get the 5th one free. Visit www.click-hit.com. That's clickandhit.com.
And now for listeners of Two Strangers, One Podcast, you can use promo code STRANGERS and receive 10% off your purchase at clickandhit.com. That's promo code STRANGERS for 10% off your purchase.
And we're back. Okay, Paul, so the first half of the show was only just a quick 20-minute segment and just about because we were talking about real-life stuff. But let's talk about the stuff that really is important. Let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con. You know, just DC knocking it out of the park. I mean, you know, you gotta give.
Well, they got ahead of a lot of things because usually what's happened with them is they do this, people will send that out on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so some way, fashion, or form, it'll get leaked. So mm-hmm. instead of just being like, no, we're not gonna do anything, they were like, panel, trailer up.
Yeah.
Panel, trailer up.
Enough of the. Of this, oh shit, I think I just lost the cable. Oh, sorry, cable. Sorry. Enough of, you know, leaked Hall H footage where someone who can't hold their fucking phone still, you know, the audio's all, right, I'm talking shit. We're sitting still in a basement and I can't keep the phone still. You know, someone in Hall H holding their phone, echoey audio, people laughing, people clapping, people cheering. You know, once again, just trying to hold the phone still. So DC just said, you know what, fuck it. It's going right to YouTube or right to whatever pages that are doing it. So we got, I got a fucking Justice League trailer. Holy shit. The Justice League was so good. You know, finally, the trailer itself was funny. You know, like, you know, when Batman v Superman came out, which once again, smart thinking, they released the Batman v Superman director's cut Blu-ray earlier this week, just in time while they knew this stuff's going to be in the news. So they're smart enough to release it this week. You know, I haven't seen the director's cut yet, but I mean, all the feedback coming back is saying like, oh, you know, the 3-hour cut, you know, this should have been the theatrical version. You know, it is really, really good. I, you know, once again, people listening to the show, I enjoyed the movie, the original version, the one that everyone said sucked. So I can only imagine I'm probably going to like this one a lot more.
I've seen it.
Oh, you saw the director's cut?
Of Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you see it?
It's upstairs, remember?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Paul gets early release shit and then doesn't fucking share it with me.
No, listen to me.
Wait a minute.
The reason you don't have that is why?
Because I don't have Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, damn, you know damn
you
well.
Come here. You don't even need to be in the house. I'll come here and sit on your couch. I'll clean up after myself.
All of a sudden, like in the middle of the day, here. Please let me in to watch it.
I'll be quiet. I brought my own popcorn. So, we had, once again, so Batman v Superman, you know, we got that. As we're recording today, once in another Batman news, as we're recording this right now, we're recording this live, and once again, counter programming, Batman the Killing Joke is out in movie theaters. It's a 2-day, deal. It's today and tomorrow. You know, I wish I had a couple more dollars. Like, I kind of played with that deal. I was like, come on, Paul, let's go see, tell your fiance, could you babysit the girls? We're going to go out to the movies. You know,
he wants me to die, folks. That's what's
happening. No, I mean, you know, it's a once in a lifetime, you know, today and tomorrow. Of course, it'll be out on Blu-ray and whatever. It'll be out in 2 weeks or 8 days or something like that. But,
And of course, I'll have it eventually.
Yeah, you'll have that also, which you'll never let me watch. But, you know,
well,
only the big
Wi-Fi, you can have access to my ultraviolet account.
Gotcha.
Can't you? That's right.
But, so what's your. So as we're recording this, I guess a Killing Joke. I guess there was a lot of controversy. You were talking about it before the episode about.
Yeah, so I don't understand why they did this, but apparently, and by the way, what I'm doing over here, might I add, those of you that are looking live, I'm trying to update my computer because it's pissing me off. So that's what I'm trying to do. Because for some odd reason, my webcam doesn't want to show up. So so apparently, the original guy that did Batman, the Batman the Animated Series.
Bruce Timm, the creative director behind the Batman the Animated Series. Hey, what's up, Eddie? Behind Batman the Animated Series, Bruce Timm, the guy who kind of started that whole stylized, retro futuristic, which, you know, it led into the Justice League cartoon, it led into the Superman cartoon,
right.
you know, the series is so, I mean, the fact that we even have Harley Quinn came from Batman the Animated Series, you know, all of this stuff came from what, you know, Bruce Timm, or as they call the Timmiverse. So Bruce Timm is the creative director behind this. And this is supposed to take place in that universe. It's supposed to take place in the Batman.
It's a weird tangent. I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's like, okay, so this does take place, but it doesn't. Because if you remember, here's the problem with the Batman Animated Series. It does mention this, but then you have the problem of Batman Beyond entering into this kind of thing. So It's kind of like one of those things where you're just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, like, see, in Batman Beyond, I mean, it goes without saying that in this, and this isn't really a spoiler, I mean, it's the fact that when you have, in this book, The Killing Joke, the Joker finds out Barbara Gordon, you know, he finds Barbara Gordon, shows up at her apartment, shoots her, basically shoots her, severs her spine, and then takes a whole bunch of pictures of her with the severed spine all fucked up on the floor, and then sends those pictures to Jim Gordon, to Commissioner Gordon. There are some people who imply maybe she was raped by the Joker, you know, or sexually assaulted, or, you know, he was doing weird things with the body. I think they do admit that he takes her clothes off, like in the pictures. He basically shoots her in the spine and, you know, does like humiliating things. So this movie is R-rated, so they could go along with that. So with her being shot in the spine, when she finally does eventually recover, because she's in a wheelchair, she becomes the Oracle, which is, you know, Batman's, you know, like it's already, Batman already had Alfred sitting back at the Batcave, you know, taking care of stuff, but, you know, Alfred's an old man, but he had Barbara Gordon in his ear, you know, sort of, you know, there in her wheelchair with 50,000 computers around her. So by the time we get to the Batman Beyond universe, which is supposed to take place in the Batman Animated Series universe, Barbara Gordon is Commissioner Gordon herself. She's back to being Commissioner Gordon, not in a wheelchair, not, you know, which I could have sworn, maybe I'm wrong and, you know, I'm going to lose my comic book cred for this, but I think she does eventually get back to walking. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, even though she's in a wheelchair, I don't think she gets back to walking and jumps back into being the Batgirl suit. but you know, she gets back into, you know, where she could not need a wheelchair. And so, you know, then that kind of explains with her being Batman, you know, being Commissioner Gordon. And, you know, and then again, you know, could have been some future tech. Maybe she got some stem cells injected in her spine or something like that. And now she can walk now, you know, it's the future.
Right.
Who's to say those are her real legs? Maybe she has some sort of, nanorobot technology in her legs or something like that. She built her own robot legs or something that gets her legs to move.
There's also, we also have to talk about the fact that apparently she was pregnant with Bruce Wayne's kid at one point.
So that's the huge off tangent that they do in this movie, where in this one, Batman and Batgirl fuck.
Yes.
They screw around, which is not in canon. It's not, you know, that doesn't happen. I think they just needed to.
The problem is it's been weaved. There's so many things that have happened, not with this, the new 52, as they've deemed it. This isn't in this, so this was completely wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of weird. Actually, speaking of the new 52, it's actually kind of fucked up because what's her name, Talia, rapes Bruce Wayne.
Oh yeah, Talia al Ghul. Yeah,
and gets pregnant with his kid. So I guess the fair play, but I guess how the story goes is. And it's, I haven't seen the movie. I wasn't at San Diego Comic-Con, so that's where they debuted it. It's actually playing in theaters tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's playing tonight as we record this.
But the thing that's really weird is, I love how I have like a microphone across my face.
he's used to it. No, I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
Speak directly into the mic, sir.
No. So she basically is like obsessed with Batman.
She's apparently like a stalker.
Yeah, know? She's like kind of, she's not like a stalker, but she's like, she's obsessed with Batman. So that's how she becomes Batgirl, because she wants to, you know, impress him and get around him. And she does. And then all of a sudden, she somehow convinces him to sleep with her.
Daddy issues. Yeah. She's got daddy wasn't there. Kinda, dad's too busy being a commissioner.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, well, look, we shouldn't have done this. I can't do that again. Like, that's just wrong.
Mm.
Which I think everybody in that situation probably kind of be like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have done that. So,
hi, Suzanne. Sorry.
And apparently, who was it?
God.
I'm trying to think who it was. That was the whole reason in this kind of continuum why Robin left, because he was like, fuck you, you slept with Barbara, kind of thing. So,
well, Robin, because I couldn't sleep with you. I really wanted to. Why do you think I had you running around with just underwear on? And boots and a cape.
Oh, Lord. Thank God for Damian Wayne. Anyways,
you wouldn't let me have any.
That all of a sudden then meshes into the Killing Joke, where, you know, Joker, and you know, it's not really clear, I don't know, you've read Killing Joke.
I've read the Killing Joke, yeah.
Now, is it clear that he knows that she's Batgirl, or does he just do that?
No, he does it just to piss off Commissioner Gordon.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, he does it just to piss off Commissioner. Then later on, he finds out that she's Batgirl.
Oh, really?
And he's like, he goes, you know, like, oh, wow, I didn't even mean to do it then. Like, you know, I think there's even like a joke where he says something to the effect of like, I would do worse if I knew it was Batgirl or something like that. He says something to that effect. So,
well, and here's the interesting thing, though. It's, I don't know what happens in the movie. I don't know if Batman actually kills him,
mm-hmm.
but I would assume this is why, because it's, if anybody's seen, and I think it was called Birds of Prey, the series that they tried at Warner Brothers there.
Yeah, back when Smallville was doing okay, right. They're
so
like, oh.
The story goes, basically, what happened was, is I think in that storyline, he locked up Joker for good.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't kill Joker, but he locked him up for good. But because that happened, he stopped being Batman. He was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is, oh, that's what happened. Barbara Gordon gets, what's the word I'm looking for? Tired.
Paralyzed, yeah.
And then she somehow, and this was another weird part, so it's kind of like, wait a minute, so this happened, but then you also have, so you have to admit that she was pregnant with his kid at one point, but then you have Selina Kyle, who actually was pregnant and had his kid, and then Joker kills Selina Kyle.
Oh.
And that's what causes the whole, Batman's like, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. And then, you know,
this is in that Birds of Prey?
Yeah, it's weird. I have to go back back and watch.
I mean, I remember the Birds of Prey. I mean, I remember that it was one. Well, there was Oracle, Barbara Gordon, Oracle.
Right.
And she was still in the wheelchair. And then they also had, I think it was supposed to be the kid between Batman and the Huntress.
Right.
Because like there wasn't. I mean, like I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what they did with what happened with Catwoman in that show. And it could be that the Joker killed her. But this was supposed to be, you know, the Huntress, which is basically female Batman. You know, that he had a kid with her, and so it's you know, Barbara Gordon still in a wheelchair with the Huntress, with the Batman Huntress child, and some other there was some other girl on the show. You know,
yeah. So it's weird, but like you've seen like flashes of this kind of. So it's going to be interesting to see if Batman like. You know, actually does like kill the Joker in this?
Yeah, I think it's still. If I remember correctly, the last couple panels, like the Joker's telling a joke, and Batman just like you see Batman's kind of hand reach over, and the Joker's laughing, and then the last panel he's not laughing anymore.
Right.
So it's implied. Right? It's one of those deals where you do what you project what you think. If you think he killed him, he killed him. If you don't think he killed him,
and honestly, like I would be honest, I would. Not be surprised if, you know, he does actually kill him.
Because, and it's,
because it does say, like, there is a part in the Killing Joke, and it actually shows it in the trailer, where, I think it says shows it in the trailer, or you hear him say it, like, it's gonna come down to me and you, one of us is gonna have to die, or something, at some point. So, you know, obviously...
And it's the same thing, like when they're talking about, after he shoots Batgirl, does he rape her? You know, I think it's one of those deals where, well, now... In all honesty, in all fairness, I think the article you read before the podcast was that Bruce Timm said, no, there's no rape. He just humiliated
her. Right, and he said if he knew.
If he, you know, I don't think he implies rape, but I think it's one of those deals where I think they purposefully left it open in the comics. One, because you'd be violating all types of rules if you just straight up said it. But then, you know,
right.
It's one of those deals where if you leave it open for your own mind to think what the Joker did to her freaking, you know, paralyzed corpse, then, you know, it makes it 10 times worse of whatever they could have put anything on the page. Where your mind goes is 100 times worse than anything they put on the page.
Exactly.
Okay, so enough Killing Joke stuff. Let's stick with Batman, though. Justice League trailer. Holy shit, the Justice League trailer was so good. I wasn't expecting it. I thought maybe I would, you know, I get it. Maybe a teaser, now the one obvious thing is, okay, there's no Superman in this movie. It's called the Justice League.
Well, no Superman yet.
You don't see Superman, but obviously there's one like promotional photo where you see all the characters, and you see there is a promotional photo, and I don't think it's a Photoshop. A promotional photo with all the characters standing there. Superman is there. So apparently, spoiler alert, end of Batman v Superman doesn't exactly, doesn't end the way it's supposed to end, where it's, you know, where you think he's obvious. And then again, they kind of, like the 2 seconds right before the frame, right before it cuts out, you see the little rocks rising off his coffin or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, people, spoiler alert. But, you know, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen Batman v Superman right now, by now. But, the trailer is so good. I thought we were going to get like a teaser. I thought it'd be logos and people talking and stuff like that. No, I mean, they've started filming. You know, you got Ben Affleck looking fucking badass as usual, you know, going up to I'm assuming it's some sort of like Alaskan village or whatever where he visits, there's man who, you know, when our waters freeze over, he brings us enough fish to last through the winter, and he does this every year on the high tide, you know. And of course he turns around fucking Jason Momoa, you know, Arthur Curry, the name of the character. You know, and by that time, you know, Bruce Wayne has like a little bit of a beard. I guess he had to like go down, you know, he had to fucking probably take snow dogs and shit. You know, he's Batman. He could have taken the fucking Batwing to the Arctic, but you know, he kind of has like a beard. Then my favorite part of the whole trailer, when he visits, Barry Allen, the Flash, you know, which of course, you know, is going to have a bit of a pushback because, you know, people have fallen in love with the CW Flash. So this kid has big shoes to fill, but I liked what they did with him in the trailer. You know what I'm saying? I like that they made him awkward. They made him a little bit nerdy. You know, this is like, I'm recruiting a team. I'm in. Like, you're not even going to, you know, you're not even like ask any more questions. He goes, no, I need friends, which is, I like that they're kind of keeping him nerdy, you know, and then freaking, you know, Bruce Wayne just throws a fucking batarang at him. Which I think is pretty funny, you know, and he uses the Speed Force and catches it. You know, you see
like a bunch of electricity, actually.
Yeah, well, that's I think you know it's supposed to be, what I like about in this one is that it looks like a little different than what they're doing on the CW. It looks like he almost has to rev up a little bit. Like, it doesn't like, he isn't like he goes from zero to a billion miles per hour. He kind of has to, like, charge up a bit. If you watch the trailer, he kind of pauses for a moment and sort of, like, maybe getting himself up. And then right. I like that. You know, it's a little different. You know, the costume, for some reason, when you see him in Batman v Superman, in the, when he's like, oh, you know, when he's like a ghost, you know, Lois Lane is the key to all of this. He looks stupid. He doesn't look good in that part in Batman v Superman, but he does look good in this trailer. You know, you see Gal Gadot. How do you pronounce Gal Gadot? So she's in the trailer. You only see her minimally, but then again, you don't really have to because she has her own trailer that came out this weekend.
That's true.
You know, but in this one, it's funny because she's wearing, like, workout gear. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're going to be amongst the humans, you can't be walking around in fucking Xena the Warrior Princess clothes all the time. You know, she's in, like, you know, Under Armour or whatever. And so she's there helping out Batman recruit the rest. You know, they don't show too much of Cyborg. I wish they did. You know, of all the, but after Batman, Cyborg's my favorite. So, you know, I want to see more Cyborg. He's not going to get his movie until, like, 2020. So it just looks good, you know. And even if it's just scenes of, like, you know, I'm recruiting people. Swear to me. I'm trying to create a team, you know. And, of course, the big obvious dent. Not obvious, but, I mean, a lot of people saying, where's Green Lantern? Is Green Lantern going to be in this movie? Are they going to even try? Are they even going to try to address Green Lantern? Then again, Ferris Industries or whatever. They do mention it in Batman v Superman. But just, you know, in passing, like, I think when Lois Lane is trying to talk to the senator, and he's like, oh, you know, you probably want to talk to someone from Ferris or something. So, I mean, at least there's some sort of acknowledgement to Green Lantern, but in no way am I saying that we're going to get a Green Lantern, you know, but, you know, it's sort of obvious that he's missing. You know, maybe they're still looming, you know, they're still kind of gun shy after the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. Like, we got to give it a little more time. But, you know, and once again, there's two more Earth-based. I mean, there's a couple more, but, I mean, you could go Guy Gardner, you could go Jon Stewart, you know. My hope would be you get Matt Damon. Matt Damon is Guy Gardner.
Oh, Green Lantern. You really want to see those two in the same
movie. Well, I mean, he does Jason Bourne. I mean, he could do an action, you know, he could do action, you know, he could do comedy. He was in, Dogma and shit like that. So, but that's just me. That's just my, they wouldn't get Matt Damon. They'd probably get a really good no name. Cause, like, the kid playing Flash is a no name. The kid playing Cyborg is a no name. Gal Gadot was a no name when they announced her as Wonder Woman.
And I think they did. They chose well, actually.
Yeah, you do it. Cause then you make them household names. You can't we're gonna get Tom Cruise. No, fuck that. You know,
Tom Cruise. What was I gonna say? So I think, like, what is her name? I think actually she was better than the original actress that played her. I think that actually, if you were to look at, here's the best thing that I could say about that. If you were to look at Justice League, mm-hmm. the animated series, mm-hmm. and then look at her, that's the closest that we've ever gotten to Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm more about, okay, let's try to match up. Let's try to match her up mm-hmm. with whoever we can. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I like that, you know, and I probably mentioned this in the past. I like that, you know, because when they first mentioned Gal Gadot, I was like, Gal Gadot looks like fucking 90 pounds soaking wet. How the hell is she going to play an Amazon? Now, you know, I thought you'd get a chick who looks like China, you know, but I like, but one, obviously Gal Gadot has been hitting the gym because she looks fantastic. You know, they kept, you know, I think they got her spirit down without having her be, without having her look like some, you know, like a female bodybuilder, you know what I'm saying? She just looks incredibly toned and in shape, right. And you know, and then Gal Gadot, you know, once again, I guess they said she was in Fast and the Furious, and I guess I would have said, oh, okay, the chick from Fast and the Furious, but you know, that the name before they announced her as Wonder Woman, I never fucking heard of her, and you know, but once again, I'm glad they got a no name, let her build her career on being, you know, so and
well,
get
she did, oh God, I'm trying to think here. What did she do? She did that movie with Kevin Costner recently.
Criminal.
Criminal.
Yeah, with Kevin Costner. Fucking what's his face? The guy who played Commissioner Gordon in the other Batman trilogy.
You had to ask me that question.
The great actor. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his name. But Criminal. But then once again, Criminal came out after she kind of got her her name out there. You know, now she's Gal Gadot. But I mean, but it's smart. You get these people now where you don't end up like what Marvel did with Robert Downey Jr. Where Robert Downey Jr. is like, I could ask for $20-$40 million dollars a movie because you're going to have to give it to me. Get these people young and cheap. So then when later on, you know, you don't have to pay them as much and continue making these movies because, you know, it's getting, it's not being cost effective for them to have Robert Downey Jr. in a Marvel movie anymore. Not saying that they're not going to, but, you know, it's easy to get someone cheap and say, hey, we built your career, asshole. Okay, speaking of Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman trailer, it just looks good. I mean, nothing jumped out at me. I mean, I like that they kind of, you know, they addressed all the stuff on Themyscira. You know, she, you know, all the warriors look cool. You know, people keep comparing it to like the first Captain America, the first Avenger. I'm not getting that vibe. I mean, okay, it takes place in World War One, and I get that. You know, it looks good on its own. I don't think you have to say, oh, this is like Captain America, the first Avenger. No, it just looks good on its own. Right. You got Chris Pine in it, you know, where she kind of like, she finds him on the fucking, washed up on the beach and, you know, being raised on an island, you know, she's never seen a man before, or at least not a human, not a mortal man.
Yeah, that was really weird that she's like, are you a man? Like, and he's like, yeah.
I mean, she's seen Zeus, but Zeus is a god, you know, she doesn't know, you know, she doesn't, yeah. You know, she's never seen a mortal man. But that's, you know, I found that, you know, pretty cool. And I'm excited, you know. I don't know how they're going to try to keep Chris Pine, you know, how they're going to keep him alive. If he's a guy that's of soldier age in World War One, he's going to be dead by now. I mean, even if he's 120, you know, there's no way he's still, or 140 if he was still alive. Or maybe, you know, maybe he passes over into the spiritual realm and they keep him, you know, when you're in a spiritual realm, they don't age or some shit like that. Or maybe they just use him for this movie and then call it a day. Once again, I mean, nothing, honestly, it's sad for me to say that nothing really sticks out in the Wonder Woman trailer other than like her finding him on the beach, but it looks good. I mean, there's no way in shape or form am I thinking it's going to be a bad movie. It looks fantastic. Okay, a couple days ago, They've erected a Captain America statue, and they're going to put it in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, which kind of pisses me off, because if you do your history, people, do your history. Captain America was originally from the Lower East Side, Manhattan, where I was born and raised. And his character, I think even because the gentleman that wrote his character were from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, somewhere down the line it got switched over to Brooklyn. You know, there's that scene in Captain America Civil War where he talks to Spider-Man, you know, I'm from Queens and Brooklyn. So, you know, that was
interesting.
They're putting it in Prospect Park. It's only going to be there for 15 days, which kind of sucks. I mean, they should just leave it there. But, you know, but once again, I'm a little pissed off because they should have put the statue in the Lower East Side, or at least let it be in the Lower East Side for another 2 weeks also. So, let me see, what else?
I'm not going to say anything new.
What was that?
Well, so I'm not going to say anything to
you. Okay, what else? Okay, I guess this is not really San Diego Comic Con, but it's fresh in my mind. I want to talk about it. I saw Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, I know.
And holy shit, was it a good movie. I was really, really impressed. I mean, you know, the usual... What's the, you know, the usual motto is every other movie sucks. They can Star Trek, only the even ones are good and the odd ones are bad. I think this breaks that unfortunate trend. You know, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it very much. Which then again, if that was the case, that would say that the first Star Trek, the one directed by J.J. Abrams, was bad, which it wasn't. That was good. I didn't like the one with Benedict Cumberbatch. I didn't like Star Trek Into Darkness. It was pretty good. It's funny, even though it's not J.J. Abrams directing it, there was a J.J. Abrams influence, and I'm not talking about lens flare, like over here. No, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's towards the end of the movie where it's obviously clearly influenced by J.J. Abrams. Justin Lin, director of some of the Fast and the Furious movies, did this one. I don't think it hurt the movie in any way, shape, or form. Like I was telling Paul earlier, you know, yeah, okay, towards the end of the scene, there's a scene in the movie where Chris Pine is on like this Harley Davidson. He's on a motorcycle riding around on an alien planet. And okay, when you have a director like Justin Lin, and there's, I don't want to, it'd be going too much into spoiling it, but it's an action scene and it makes sense. Okay, he could do that. But what I really liked about the beginning of the movie, without spoiling it, is, you know, there is a real sense of like them being alone in the universe. Like, you know, like we are light years away from any other fucking place, and all we have are the people on the ship. All I have is my crew. You know what I'm saying? We are in the vacuum of fucking fucking damn near infinite space, and you know, we're all we got, and you know, we're visiting hostile planets and you know, stuff like that. So I dug that vibe in the beginning of the movie. And once again, without getting into spoilers, but it's not really, because this was in the TV spots, Idris Elba is the bad guy in this movie. But if you watch the TV spot, there's a scene where you can see him look human, you know, but then in the commercial, the, you know, the big bad guy, like, you know, one of the lines from the trailer is like, you know, Zoe Saldana, Uhura, says, you know, oh, my captain's gonna come on, he's gonna come and save us. And then, you know, Idris Elba's the alien all in her face, like, I'm counting on it, you know. So I was kind of confused. I'm like, how do you take a guy like Idris Elba, who's known for being good looking, known for being, you know, he's a famous guy, he's a name that everyone knows, you know, how do you put him in a movie and then cover him in fucking makeup? It doesn't make any sense. How do you why would you do that? You know, but then again, they find a way to get around that little loophole, and they do show him as Idris Elba, you know, or, you know, without makeup as a human being. And they kind of have a nice little twist on that, on how they bring that up. Like I said, I was just like, you know, cause if they just needed a bad guy, you could have gotten any character in the world. You could have gotten any halfway decent actor, paid him a third of what you paid Idris Elba, and have him be the bad guy in a Star Trek movie.
Right.
But they kind of explain it, and then you see Idris Elba as a human and an alien. And that's not really spoiling it, because, you know, you'll have to watch the movie to figure out how that happens. So that, you know, it was so good. I would say about, if you want to cut the movie into like four parts, I would say like the second quarter, if that makes sense, that was kind of boring, you know, then it kind of amped up. I don't think, it, you know, people feel like Star Trek movies are supposed to be like these big cerebral movies. This one didn't have to be like cerebral, like, you know, this is all about, you know, negotiations and politics. But like I said, like the two main themes is like, what are you without your crew? Like if you're a captain, right, you know, without your crew, you're nothing. And, you know, and like I said, and I kind of like the beginning part where it's like, once again, you're in space, you're by yourself, all you have is your crew, you know. So I really dug that. Of course, everybody came through, you know. I broke my heart seeing Anton Yelchin, you know, plays Chekhov, and he's a big part of this movie, you know. I mean, I don't know if maybe they went back and they got every scene they could, and they spliced it back in, because right, he's you know, later on in the movie when you know, when the shit hits the fan, for the lack of a better term, he's with Kirk. You know, Anton Yelchin, he shines in this movie, and it's a real fucking shame that he passes. And they do, and of course, you know, it has been announced they are making a part four. They did leave enough breadcrumbs in the movie where, like, okay, they could make a part four if they really wanted to.
And it's supposed to be with, I was thinking about this the other night. They should just name it Star Trek IV, The Search for Thor.
That's funny.
I'm sorry.
Star Trek IV, The Search for Thor. And it makes sense because, you know, Chris Hemsworth, who was at that time a relative no-name, plays, you know, James T. Kirk's father in the first 5 minutes of the first reboot, Star Trek reboot, the J.J. Abrams one. He's in the movie for five fucking minutes, and they're an emotional 5 minutes. Those first 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, yeah, no, it sets up the whole, like,
rip your fucking heart out.
Yeah.
So now they said, okay, well, loophole, we're gonna fucking find a way to get, you know, Thor in this movie. You know, we're gonna get Chris Hemsworth, excuse me, back in this movie. So, you know, I, you know, speculate all you want. A transporter accident, they travel back in time, some sort of hologram, you know, there's a million ways you can bring James T. Kirk's dad back, you know, they, you know, like I said, I heard it on another podcast, and I think it's gonna be one of those like transporter accidents or something, like he was beamed off right before he died or some shit like that, which would totally undercut the whole beginning of the first movie. But, okay, so once again, if you haven't seen it, if you're a Star Trek fan, go see, Star Trek Beyond. It is so good. Okay, Ghostbusters. Okay, we have to talk about Ghostbusters. I mean, most hated, most disliked trailer in the history of YouTube. I think the most hated video in the history of YouTube. You know, obviously a reboot. I mean, the asshole trolls on the internet destroying this movie way before it, you know, guys didn't even see one frame of it, and they were already destroying, you know, don't get me wrong. I was mad that there wasn't a part three, but I'm more mad at Wes Anderson for fucking, you know, for Bill Murray getting his head stuck up Wes Anderson's ass, and, you know, should have been, you know, had there been no beef between, my God, what am I drawing a blank on? There was no beef between Egon and Bill Murray, the actor that played Egon. Egon, and I'm sad. It's sad that I can't think of his name right now. There could have been a part three, but then again, a lot of people say that part three was the video game. You know, was it good? It was okay. It was passable. I think it was badly edited. I know it's not, because, you know, I know they had a script for this movie, and I know there are chunks of this movie which were actually, you know, people riffing and improvising and stuff like that. And it was a bad combination of stuff that was obviously scripted and stuff that was edited. I think, put me in that room. Put me in a room with all the takes, and I think I probably could have found a better takes, because it was just jokes that just did not land, you know. And I mean, to the point of like, and I hate to say it, you know, and I wanted to enjoy this movie, you know. I would say a 20-80 ratio of like actually funny jokes to all jokes altogether, it's only 20% actually hit. You know, Leslie Jones, you know, and there was a whole thing on Twitter where people were just fucking tearing into her on her appearance. They were saying racist shit, they were saying sexist shit. You know, people just if you read those fucking comments, it was ridiculous. And I'm a guy who gets on, you know, I troll people, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm an asshole. Right. And even I was like, wow, they're saying some really fucked up shit. So, I mean, just unnecessary. Cause, I mean, I just, you know, they kind of, her character was a little one dimensional, you know, a little stereotypical. I didn't, you know, they could have fleshed her out a little bit more.
Right.
Kate McKinnon's character was probably, in my opinion, the best part of the movie. Holtzman, the Egon, the scientist, the quirky scientist character. She was pretty good. You know, and it was just more just cause it was so weird and odd funny. You know, the 20% of the odd jokes that just happened to hit was with her. You know, all the cameos, you know, they pretty much had everybody that's still alive in the movie from the original Ghostbusters, except Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis just doesn't do movies anymore. And one thing I noticed, I saw it in 3D, was that they had, you know, when you watch a movie in the 16:9 format,
right,
there's the black bars on top and the bottom, which, you know, 10 years ago, people were like, what the hell is that? I don't want black bars, you know, before we had widescreen TVs. And eight high definition TVs. And so whenever they had a scene that had special effects, like that kind of went off the screen, it would go into the black bar area. So like if they were shooting the proton pack, the rest of the scene would stop at the black bar. But if you're watching in 3D, you would see the proton beam go through the black bars. Or every now and then you'll see a ghost come by and then the ghost into the black bars. So that was kind of like a sneaky little thing, which obviously once they actually show the regular version without the 3D, they can just, you know, just cut that out, you know, saying it's not going to change anything in the regular version. It just added to the 3D version, which, you know, I saw it in 3D only because I don't want to wait another 40 minutes to see the next showing. So I just said, fuck it. I'll pay the extra $2 and see it in 3D. So I don't know. I wanted to like it. In all fairness, I do think that they set it up well enough where they could do a part two. I think, and like all superhero movies, the first one, the origin movie is always kind of like, you know, by the time you get to the second movie and everyone's running on all pistons, you know, I think if they give it a chance, if they give them a chance to make part two, Ghostbusters is probably going to be a lot better. Okay, real quick, the new Tick, they show the, what's his, I can't, once again, I'm so bad, I do these podcasts and I forget everyone's name. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in all those like Nick Frost movies and he's playing the Tick. The guy who goes, what a bunch of a-holes from the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy. And it's a shame we're echoing over here. Are you watching a video on your phone or something?
I'm just seeing to make sure.
Yeah, we're still there. I was like, I'm getting echo. So yeah. The new Tick suit looks like shit. It really does. It doesn't look good at all. I'm hoping it's funny. You know, he's a very dry actor. You know, he's not really like fall down slapstick. And then again, Patrick Warburton was a dry character also. So, you know, maybe he's sort of like the straight one in this or whatever, but.
Who knows?
I mean, Patrick Warburton was pretty good. I mean, they butchered all the other characters, but the suit looks like shit in the new Tick, the teaser frames that they were showing from the show. And I think before we leave, we have to talk about it. It comes out in a couple of days. I would say in about a week or so. Transformers Combiner Wars. You know, friend of the show, George Kurstick, co-wrote the show. It's coming to what they call the site is called Go 90, as if you take your phone and hold it 90 degrees. It's about watching content, video content on your phone. This isn't any way sponsored. I'm only promoting it only because it looks fucking good. I mean, it's a friend of the show is involved, but just, I mean, you know, I'm a Transformers fan, have been, you know, when Optimus Prime fucking died in the 86 movie, I cried and I went to family funerals that I didn't fucking cry, you know what I'm saying? And I cried when Optimus Prime fucking died.
Right.
So, it looks good. It's based on the IDW comic books. I don't think it's strongly based. I think it's loosely based on the comics where it's the combiners for those who don't watch the Transformers. Or, you know, if you think of like, the character like Devastator, or when all the aerial bots joined together and became Computron. It's all the robots that are sort of put together by smaller robots, and they all come. So in this universe, there's this, they call it the Enigma Engine or some shit like that. And right. So any 5 robots can join together and make a big combiner robot. You know, like you didn't have to be a special Constructicon. You didn't have to be a special aerial bot. Any 5 robots can come together and make a bigger robot. And then when you join with the other robots, it's sort of like you meld with their soul. You know, like you could, Autobots and Decepticons could form together a giant robot and help fight and stuff like that, which, right. You know, in this series, like, I think it's all the Constructicons and like Autobot Prowl, an Autobot with the rest of the Constructicons or something. It's something. No, strike that. I did a little homework on it and I should have, and I picked up a couple of the comics. But it's basically, it's a world like that. It's a world that takes place way after the movies, way after, you know, it's like a, you know, well, actually not the movies because Optimus Prime is still alive, but it's supposed to be like, if like the first movie didn't exist, but it's in the future. So it's like Cybertron and the wars are like over. Like we've fought each other to the point of extinction. We're not even fighting anymore. And then in this series, it turns out, like, Starscream is the leader of Cybertron. It's gotten to the part where, like, yeah, he always wanted to be a leader and he was always kind of a maniac. But then after there was peace, he was like, he kind of got, not stuck, but he ended up with being in control of Cybertron. And that's a pain in the ass, you know what I'm saying? And they're looking for, now they're on, like, missions looking for other lost colonies of Transformers that kind of left the same way the Transformers we knew went to Earth. There were other Transformers that went into other planets and disappeared for generations. And now they're coming back, or they're trying to contact them to come back to Cybertron to fix all the fucking debris and damage that was made during the Cybertronian Civil War. And this is why I don't get laid, because I talk about shit. The fact that I said Cybertronian Civil War is the reason why no one will give me pussy. So,
is it, or is it something else?
No, I'm a good lover. I eats the pussy. No, okay.
Too much information.
Okay, I think we should wrap it up.
That's what she said.
Please visit, and I wonder if I could put it down here. Please visit twostrangersonepodcast.net, where you can find all things show-related. You can find the links to our iTunes page if you have an iPhone, an iPad, or an iPod. You can download episodes. You know, this show has been out, as we're recording this, episode 224. We've been out for over 4 years now. So you can go back and listen to episodes. You can't go back all 4 years because I've taken a bunch of the earlier episodes off the servers only because we've run out of space and stuff like that. You know, server space costs money, people. So we have to use what we can. So the most current episodes are still up there. If you don't have an iPhone, an iPad, or an iPod, you can download us on the Stitcher app. That's STITCH. That's the Stitcher app for Android devices. So when you're out and about, and what I like to do when I'm on Stitcher is I hit the listen later option and the available offline option. So when you're in a Wi-Fi spot like I'm at right now, I'm in Paul's house and his Wi-Fi is stealing his Wi-Fi, I could download my episodes. And then and then when I'm not in my Wi-Fi,
said stealing my Wi-Fi. I'm
stealing his Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting outside his house in my car for like an hour before after I leave here. No, I won't.
Kid's probably asleep, actually.
When that happens, I'll be, you download the episodes, so you're not killing your data plan if you have a limited data plan. If you've already killed your battery playing Pokemon Go, you can download the episodes or in a Wi-Fi spot and then listen to them later when you're out and about, if you're driving, if you're out playing Pokemon Go, if you're, you know, taking a shit, if you're taking a bath, or any other thing, any of the places where you listen to podcasts. I would love to know that your people are listening to this podcast when they're supposed to be working. That would make me so incredibly happy. But you can find us on a Stitcher app, STITCHER, if you don't have an iPhone, an iPad, or an iPod. We are on Facebook. I don't know if you found this link on Facebook, but you can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/twostrangersonepodcast. Once again, all spelled out, facebook.com/twostrangersonepodcast. We want your money. We need your money. But if you can't
you're
give
me... You're liking that way too much.
Yeah, I'm like, I love being on camera.
No, you like looking at yourself.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, you know, I'm a hand.
Especially not sitting there going, oh, yeah, look at my beard. Oh, God.
Stroking a beard. No, but if you... I got pubic hair on my chin, and not the good kind. No, so...
I'm sorry if you...
If you have... Okay. Please visit Facebook.com. We want your money. We need your money. But if you can't give us money, it takes 2 seconds. 2 seconds to like and share our page. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. Share this episode. Share the link to this streaming video so people get an idea of what the show is about.
Or go away.
Or go away. I mean, by the time this... I don't know how long this is going to be on Facebook or if Facebook even saves videos this long. But you can do that and share this video. Let people see what we look like. See our handsome, handsome faces. And... And the microphone's here, and I'm wondering, the podcast is probably going to sound like shit because I'm too busy talking to the phone.
Probably.
But, okay, Facebook.com. If you would like to write us, and I can't believe all this time I've done all this talking and I haven't even brought up our email, you can email us at twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. That's all spelled out, twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. We are technically on Twitter also, even though we don't do as much activity on Twitter as we'd like. Once again, that's at, the little at symbol, that at Stranger Podcast. And why do I always forget? Oh, and when you're on Stitcher, pretty much every podcast worth listening to is going to be on Stitcher. You got, you know, Chris Hardwick's The Nerdist, Kevin Smith's Modcast, This American Life, Adam Carolla, and of course, Paul's other baby, the Toonami Faithful Podcast.
That's right.
And, And I'm sorry I've taken too. I'm kind of trying to kill time because I'm trying to get to our email because I haven't had a chance to check our email and there's no new email. I'm pretty sure Oscar hasn't written back to call me a fat fuck with a stupid beard and a giant head. But I guess, you know, you can watch the video and see. You can see how giant my fucking head is, and it's not because I'm closer to the camera than Paul. I have a big, huge Mardi Gras head.
Yeah, not surprising.
So, with that, I can ask the floor to you, sir.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Paul Pasquillo, and you can Instagram me. It's Instagram.com/Paul Pasquillo. And you can also ask me questions at ask.fm/Paul Pasquillo. And as Chris alluded to, you can listen to my other podcast, Tsunami Faithful Podcast. And last but not least, you can go to geekyinc.com, where you can find a lot more goodies. Non-Toonami related, of course.
GEEKEINC.com.
What is this?
I want to put like the... I'm going to put... Oh, if I God. Had... Maybe I'll put like this video up some other place and I'll put the link, you know.
And also, I can say that I am managing a nerdcore artist now named Tech Force. So look for me to be doing some stuff with him, trying to get his stuff together and making sure that we can get more stuff because... Honestly, I think a lot of nerdcore rappers are not getting what they should, so... But that's it.
That's it. Well, to our streaming Facebook audience, thank you everyone who's come on, even if you've left by now. We certainly hope you guys enjoyed listening and had as much as fun as we did recording and streaming. Thank you for listening to Two Strangers, One Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Paul.
Don't be a stranger.
Peace.
Bye.
You should be fapping.
No. Oh. You can stop the live now.
All right, here we go, man. Go ahead. You want to read
Double it? Jackpot.
What is it?
It is a self-published book by Christopher Colon.
Chris Colon? Smells good to me.
But...
Look at her. That broke that fucking cold little look to her. He's like, hee.
But it is spelled C-O-L-O-N.
Him punny.
But... Double Jackpot is a book about a comic book artist, Eric, who is in a loveless relationship with a materialist,
I feel you, Eric.
Lynette.
Are you sure I didn't write this? I sounds hauntingly familiar.
He starts cheating on his girlfriend with a more creatively supportive woman, Nadia.
Well, I gotta meet her. Where's the Nadia?
There's your summer girlfriend.
Summer Nadia. Is Nadia.
Nadia?
Yeah, I think Nadia spelled with an A.
All right.
Both Lynette and Nadia play the double jackpot, the largest payout in lotto history, much like the recent Powerball. Both girls play his birth date as the winning numbers. Eric is now stuck between two of the country's richest women. Who will he choose? It's not that simple. This is a clever fucking idea,
yeah,
man.
It is.
Look at her. Fucking, she's impressed.
I am.
She got some summer reading. Christopher Colon smells real lovely with an original idea. Is it? I've never heard this before.
I haven't either. This is a self-published book, much in the indie spirit as Kev's Clerks.
Oh, you don't even need to name check me. This is just a good idea. You could stand on your own, man. You don't even have to be like, hey, remember Clerks? This is nothing like that. This is way more original than Clerks. This is a good idea, man. Why didn't I think of this?
I need something to read. This book is part of the Comic Books, Heavy Metal, Video Games Trilogy Book 2. Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, coming soon.
Right on, man. It's part of a trilogy. This is the first part.
Way to write, man.
He's seeking a literary agent. Motherfuckers, anybody out there? There ain't no literary agents listening to this show, I assure you, sure. Sure, I assure you, sure. But somebody know a literary agent? Hook a motherfucker up! Chris Colon come up with an original idea. I should tell Raskin, that's a good fucking idea, to be honest with you. That's a fucking rom-com right there. Megan, get Raskin on the phone. Isn't it possible to get Raskin on the phone? No?
Yeah.
I want to run it past him, man. I want to, and if it happens, I get a taste, Chris Colon. I get a whiff, if you will.
The book could also be ordered on www.lulu.com.
That's lulu.com.
I understand that. I just want to spell it out.
Normally one says it, that spells it. Still, lulu.com. What is that? Do you know what it is?
I don't know. All right. The book could also be ordered on www.lulu.com. Search for Double Jackpot Christopher Colon. A paperback version of the book is $15, and a PDF file is only $5.
$5 is insanely inexpensive. 15 is not even that bad for a paperback version.
No.
This is a $1 million idea right here. Like a fucking movie about a dude who fucking is stuck between two chicks, both of who play his birthday and win the lottery. Come on!
I
can see that trailer. Chris Colon is on to something. Nobody else can smell it but me.
I'll read it.
Thank you. I'm going to make that smelly joke.
I know. You're trying to get me to laugh again.
It worked once. Double Jackpot is a self-published book by Chris Colon, man. It's the first book in his Comic Books, Heavy Metal, Video Games trilogy. Book 2, Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, should be coming out soon. Get all the information at Chris Colon, like a motherfucker.
And his book. I will totally read this.
Double Jackpot. I'm serious. I'm going to recommend that to fucking Raskin. How is that not a movie? You know what I'm saying? This could be a sexy movie. You could do an R-rated version. There could be nudity in it, and you could sell them fucking both chicks. Maybe a little penetration. Maybe a butthole shot. No butthole, no care.
I would like to formally apologize to Christopher Colon.
Sex sells. Chris Colon will appreciate that. He's like, thanks for throwing a few buttholes in there, man.
Don't forget to check out twostrangersonepodcast.net, your one-stop resource for everything show-related. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. You could also find links to buy my book, Double Jackpot, on twostrangersonepodcast.net.
Fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.